Hello, hello, I'm Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. I am at Williamson NFL. Drop me a line anytime. We are, as every Friday, our most popular show of the week. I am going to go through every game and pick against the spread at mybookie.ag and straight up. And before we get to that, we have a kind of a noteworthy Thursday game for sure. Jets aren't bad. Josh McCown, not bad. Defense, not bad. Even without Morris Claiborne, a guy I like. They like the young safeties. Early picks. Darren Lee, early pick, had a big game and is quietly really putting in a quality season. Defensive line littered with early picks, had a real nice day. Wilkerson, Williams, I think those guys remain stars. I did not see that pass rush coming. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was under duress a ton. I mean, a couple things here. I mean, that was a key. I thought that they won this game at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball with the Jets' ability to run the ball and their ability to pressure Taylor. They made fewer mistakes, which has always been the Bills' formula. They always make the least mistakes in basically every game they play. They did a real good job of keeping LeSean McCoy bottled up. Zay Jones did some nice things. I thought his injury was going to be a bad one. It was not. That was promising. It sounds like it's not, although he was kind of in and out of the game since then. But the Bills kind of came back to reality. We didn't see a lot of Benjamin. I think Josh McCown is a really interesting story. That I really like the way he's playing. I mean, what more can you say about him? I mean, he's been good this year. And just in terms of just watching what they've done, he's been probably a top 10, top 12 type quarterback this year. A lot of the usual suspects are down or injured, but still, I mean, he's playing well. Jets are not a bad team, and I can't believe I'm saying that. I think Todd Bowles deserves some offense or some, you know, coach of the year type consideration for what he's done with this roster. And I think they're pretty promising going forward. And I know that everyone's going to say, well, they're going to take a quarterback at the top of the draft, but they're not going to pick in the top five. You know, I mean, I don't know that you force a quarterback. And again, this isn't backing McCown. Well, kind of, I guess it is. But if you went into next year with McCown as your day one starter and a second or third round pick or something like that because your guy isn't available in round one, I don't know that that's the end of the world. I know Jets fans don't want to hear that. And you can't count on this guy for a long term. And I know he's been unbelievably up and down in his career. But I don't know that you absolutely... Well, my point is you just don't absolutely have to force a quarterback in round one with the 12th pick in the draft, even though he should be the 35th pick in the draft, if you know where I'm getting at here. So, that is yesterday's action. All right, here we go with the lines, and this one surprises me. Eagles have one loss. They're favored by 8 at home against a Broncos team whose back's against the wall. I understand that, and they have a good defense, and I think they'll take away the Eagles' receiving weapons to some degree. And I don't know that wide receiving weapons to some degree. And I don't know that the Eagles will run the ball very well. But man, I mean, if you got a fantasy team, you want the Eagles' defense, and you want Ertz. And I think Wentz will eventually get his. The Eagles will be able to stick with the running game. I see Brock Osweiler throwing 2 or 3 picks. I see him getting sacked 5 or 6 times. I just think domination by the Eagles when Denver has the football. Eventually, at home, I think they spread the lead to more than 8 points, and they run away with this one like 24-10. Something like that. Just the much better team. And, yeah, Denver's good on one side of the ball, but they're really not on the other. And against a Philly D that is really good on D, man, I think that's a huge problem for Denver. That's a tough game. That's a tough matchup for Denver. And then you got to be like, man, I wonder where their season's at. Rams go to the Giants. Rams are favored on the road by 3.5, coming off their bye. Giants have some dudes suspended in the secondary. Sterling Shepard's coming back. The Rams are the better team. Absolutely. Tough road trip. Both teams coming off bye. The Giants are better than their record indicates. Getting Donald's going to be blocked is going to be really difficult, but Engram's going to be hard for the Rams to deal with, and I think Shepard will catch a fair amount of passes, and maybe the Darkwa-Gallman combination runs and keeps this game sort of close. Can they bottle up Gurley? Maybe. Giants D has not played great, but I could see them playing pretty well in this game, and that's a little bit of a hunch by me. I like the Rams to win, but Giants getting 3.5, I'll take the home team. I mean, if this was a 2-point game, I probably would lay the points, but 3.5 at home, I don't see the Rams, although it's a good offense, I don't think they just run away and hide. I think Spagnuolo will have some things for Goff that he hasn't seen at home. There's certainly talent on that Giants defense. So here's the heartbreaker is the game is locked right now, but the Texans were favored by 13 over the Colts. And Watson's out for the year, injured since we talked last in practice. This is heartbreaking, and I know I'm considered a Watson hater, doubter, whatever, but not only does this just ruin things for the Texans, their season's over, unfortunately, but he's the guy everybody wants to watch in the league right now. And it just really shows the injury problem, that's the epidemic that's just really crushing the league right now. I don't know what the spread is in this game. In Houston, I assume, I'm going to be the bookie from now on, or in this one, and I'm going to say they're favored still by 2.5 in Houston. But I bet they're a downtrodden group, and I think the Colts end up winning this game. So I'm going to say the Colts are still a dog, which that seems safe, right? I don't know. I'm not a bookie, but we'll go check my bookie and maybe the updates here. But I think the Colts win this game, and the Texans are just dragging, you know, just emotionally spent. And Hilton and Moncrief and Doyle and Brissett and Mack, I mean, those guys aren't bad. I mean, the Colts are a terrible team. And I would have been excited to, you know, see what Hopkins and Fuller and Watson obviously would have done against the Colts D, but with Savage there, I just think that this is too many blows to the head, and eventually Texans just are a beaten group right now, and the Colts take advantage of that, and it sets up well for them. That stinks, though. Bucks are getting 7 in New Orleans. This Bucks D is a problem. And I think Michael Thomas has a huge game. I think Ingram has a huge game. I think Breeze has a huge game. I'm sure Kamara does some good things. They're going to score points. Are we going to see Lattimore on Evans? Probably. But that still probably favors Evans. Winston has been very up and down and has been banged up. I would think you want to lean on Martin for those reasons and try to slow this thing down a little bit on the road against a Breeze-led offense that should have its way with your defense. I have a hard time getting behind Tampa Bay in this situation. That's a lot of points. I mean, 7 against the Saints. And yes, the Saints' D is better, but I'm not exactly saying it's a top 10 type of D. I think the Saints win by more than 7. The Bucs have some bad mojo. And as much as I like Winston, he's not playing consistent at all. He's not playing very well. And he's not very healthy. It's a real problem. This game's fun. The Falcons are going to Carolina. And Carolina's favored by 2. See, that's weird to me. Atlanta's defense has a real hard time slowing down receiving backs. Christian McCaffrey gets like 1 million targets a game. And I think they're going to play a lot faster and more big plays. And in a way, the more I think about the Kelvin Benjamin situation, I think it could be addition by subtraction. And if you remember in 2015, when this offense was at its best, it was Al Benjamin. You know, that there's no reason to force feed him the ball, even though he's not open. Panthers D is really good. I mean, I think that they'll limit the big plays. Keekly is an absolute difference maker in there. I think they'll get to Ryan. I tweeted a stat I didn't know until now, but the Falcons have the worst starting average field position in the league. I mean, so their defense is putting them in binds. Their special teams is putting them in binds. I'm shocked. I think Carolina's better than Atlanta. But I do think Atlanta's offense could be better in the second half of the season than it was the first. I believe that to be true. I think it will be. But the Panthers at home getting points? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the Panthers to win. And if you're going to give me two, yeah. The Baltimore Birdies go to the Titans. Titans are favored by 3.5. What's the angle here? I'm not big on Tennessee's D, but I hate Baltimore's offense. I think Baltimore will do a good job of bottling up the Titans' run game. I think we could see more. I think Corey Davis is returning, and we could see more three-receiver sets at home. Maybe Mariota has a nice game, but Baltimore's secondary is pretty good. I mean, this is screaming low-scoring game, Ravens-type game, Justin Tucker-type game. But it's in Tennessee, and I'll take the Titans to win. I think Corey Davis has a nice day. I'm really excited to see this kid. I really like him a lot. But getting 3.5 in a tight-scoring Ravens-type grinded-out game, I'll take the Ravens plus the points. Okay. This one I feel very strongly about. Cincinnati getting 6 on the road to the Jags coming off a bye. Jags offensive line's getting healthier. Fournette is back. I don't see any reason why they won't be able to give him a lot of carries. D.D. Westbrook's a guy I'm excited to see burst on the scene, like I said about Corey Davis a little bit. Could Bortles throw 3 or 4 picks in this game and lose it for him? Absolutely. But I think the Jags might have 10 sacks again. And A.J. Green versus Ramsey / Bouye doesn't favor the Bengals as much as it does most weeks, that's for sure. If it does at all, especially when you mix in the pressure. Is Mixon going to run on these guys? I don't think. I mean, I don't think the Bengals maybe don't get to 10 points in this game. I mean, Jags D's that good. Darius comes in to help stop the run. Jags are very healthy right now. I don't know if they put up a ton of points, but I bet Fournette goes for 150 and Bortles throws for 225. That's enough. I'll gladly give you the Bengals 6 points and take the Jags at home. And I bet, let's set the over-under on Jag sacks at 5.5, and I'm going over. How about that? Redskins at Seattle. This does not set up well for Washington either. Seahawks are favored by 7.5, and I'm going to take Seattle without a second thought to win and to cover. And I like the Redskins organization, but man, their offensive line's really banged up. They don't have a lot of running game. They seem to be really searching for weapons. Jordan Reed's out again. Pryor's really disappointing. Long road trip. Wilson and Baldwin are really playing well. You add Dwayne Brown to the mix. Maybe they run the ball a little, but even if they don't, I think Jimmy Graham does damage. Richardson, Lockett. Tough place to play. I think this one favors Seattle a lot. And maybe I overrate Seattle. I'm sure a lot of you guys are out there like, dude, give Seattle a break. But I don't think this is a real good matchup at all for Washington walking into Seattle. This is kind of a yucky one. The Cardinals, led by Drew Stanton, are favored in San Francisco, who are not led by Jimmy Garoppolo yet. I would think it's a heavy Peterson game. I think we'll all agree that the Cardinals' defense is the best unit of the four. Oh, by the way, another injury. Pierre Garçon is done for the year. So who's Patrick Peterson going to guard? I mean, will they throw his direction even once in this game? You know, like, he's just going to go through the motions out there. I don't know where the Niners' offense comes from. I would think if you hand the ball to Peterson enough and maybe dump a few to Ellington if he plays and some short throws to Larry, eventually you'll move down the field and score 13, 16, maybe as much as 20 points, which I think easily wins this game because San Francisco's in that kind of situation. No Staley at left tackle. Ugh. So the Niners the Cardinals are favored by 2, and trust me, I don't trust Drew Stanton, but at least he's had a while here to, prepare as a starter. Maybe they hit a big play to John Brown or Nelson or somebody like that. I like the Cardinals here, and I'll give you 2. Chiefs are getting to in Dallas, who now have Ezekiel Elliott back. And that story's changed 100 times, if I'm sure you followed, especially if you have him on your fantasy team. But I think he gashes them. I really think that the Kansas City run defense is a problem. And I think this is a heavy Elliott game. I think Dez moves around a little bit, but a guy like Switzer could have a nice game as a dink and dunk sort of option. Don't throw at Peters very much, but line up Dez on the other side. Be smart with the ball, Dak, and I think he will. Make a few plays with your legs. Hand it to Zeke a lot. But that seems to be undercutting the Chiefs' offense. It's a very good group. There could be a lot of points in this game. I think that's the case. I also think Kansas City's pass rush is, Dallas's pass rush is pretty decent. Hill could break free, though. Hunt could have a big game. I'm sure he'll be watching Zeke on the sidelines, you know, a year apart in their careers and trying to outdo one another. Kelsey's going to be a problem. So I'm not confident that Dallas wins this game. But I think it's a high-scoring, fun, back-and-forth event. Maybe the most fun game of the weekend. It's on a wonderful slate, by the way. I'll take Dallas to win, but since the Chiefs are getting points, give me Kansas City +2. Dallas 31, Kansas City 30. Here's some teams that seasons have not gone as planned. Raiders at Miami. Raiders are favored Sunday night by 3 points. Boy. I would think this is a situation where you look at Lynch and say, dude, you're rested. This is why we brought you here. Our offense has problems. We need to lean on you and a big offensive line and shorten this game. Take some more shots downfield. As we talked about with Mike Renner, they are not pushing the ball down the field at all. And Miami's pass rush could be problematic. I mean, there's no question about that. It's a pretty good D. I mean, in a way, Raiders over Dolphins D. Who gets the edge there? I mean, you would think that the Raiders, the offense should, but it hasn't. Cutler looks like he's going to return. I guess that's good news. But are they going to run the ball? Raiders defense is bad, though, man. I mean, I could see Parker and Landry, if Cutler plays respectably, doing some things here. And I think it's easy to think, look at Miami and say, boy, they stink. It's over. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. And that very well could be true. And there's no Ajayi in the mix anymore. And Cutler, blah. But they're at home on Sunday night. Proud team. Have some weapons that if the stars can shine at home, the Wakes and Sues and Landrys and Parkers and those type of guys, I think they keep this game to within 3 for sure. And I think they win at home. And that's really just a slight on Oakland than it is Miami. So that counts as a Adam and Eve on a Raft upset special cup of mud, since it is 3. But I can't say I'm putting, you know, my kids' college funds on that one. I don't feel good about that at all. Lions are favored in Green Bay Monday night. Obviously no Rodgers. You would think Hundley's now accustomed to taking starting snaps as the during practice as the number one quarterback. A lot of Jones, I would think, in this game. Stafford should play well, and I like their receivers. I don't know that either team. I say Green Bay probably runs the ball better than Detroit does for sure, but the Lions did a nice job against the run last week. I don't have a strong feeling about this one either, but Packers at home. I know there's no Rodgers, but Packers at home on Monday night getting 3 against a team like the Lions. I'm taking the Packers. And I'm not saying it's going to be like a Hundley breakout situation. And Stafford's a stud, and you guys know I love him. But I don't like the Lions supporting cast. I'm not big on the defense. I know Rodgers makes them more than the other way around, but can't Cobb or Adams or Nelson or even Bennett, heaven forbid, Bennett, get free a little? And the Packers should be pretty healthy, especially at the tackle positions now again. Their defense is all right. I think they can be disruptive up the middle. The good pair of defensive tackles for the Packers. So, you know, improving. Back seven's not bad. Secondary's not bad. Yeah, I'll take Green Bay to win, which again, I guess is a cup of mud. But barely. But them getting 3 to me is enticing in what I think is a pretty equal game. I'm surprised they're getting 3 at home. So cool. Fun stuff, guys. Thanks again to mybookie.ag. Our promo code there is locked on, as I told you yesterday. And good stuff overall. Have a great weekend. Drop me a line at WilliamsonNFL and absolutely spread the word about the Locked On NFL podcast.